She's the talk of the town. You wanna be around to hear what Marge will say. What's going on in our hometown? What's the buzz today? She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give Marge a cheer. Marge Hazelett. She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give her a cheer. Marge Hazelett.
And away we go on this Friday, February the 15th, 2019, 14 minutes past the hour. And what a pleasure it is to welcome back after a brief hiatus, Marge Hazelett. Marge, how are you?
I'm okay now.
I'm so glad to see you back.
And I can drive now, and I can get out and not have to worry about sliding all over the place. And it's good to be back.
It's good to see
I
you.
I missed it.
I was so glad when I saw you walk in the door this morning.
Thank you. Well, I'm here today.
Here we are. So what's been new, Marge, since we haven't seen you since the week after Christmas?
I know. The weather has just been too bad to drive. And being that I have joined the senior citizen things, I don't drive in that bad weather. I just won't. I don't want to take other people's lives in my hands and take and hurt somebody. So I just stayed in the house.
Good. Well, we're glad that you're feeling well and doing well and here.
I'm here.
And here.
Couldn't wait to get here today.
Well, I tell you, Marge, we had an interesting topic last week on the 12 o'clock show with Brandy and Charlie. Charlie was out last week. I hope Charlie's feeling better today.
I hope so, too.
Because he's had this cold going on, and I hope he's feeling better.
I hope so, too.
But the topic was, is it old-fashioned to ask the father, if he's alive, I guess, ask the father for the daughter's hand in marriage?
I don't know. I thought it was a good idea. My father had an opportunity to say, I don't want you to marry him. I don't really dislike you, but you're not my favorite.
Right.
And I'd like to have her closer to her age group.
Right.
And I think my father really, really was sincere about it. You know, because my husband was older than me. And you expect them to go before you because they are older. But I don't know. We got along fine, as far as I know.
Well, I don't understand why this is an old-fashioned idea.
I don't think it's an old-fashioned. I think it's a nice gesture.
I mean, if people want to do it, they can do it. If they don't want to do it, they don't have to do it.
That's right.
But I think it's the last chance people get to really smooth things over it with the in-laws if there is something to smooth
right.
over.
I don't think we had any problems. We live too far apart from each other, really, to have problems. I think that the biggest problem that I find is that the children really are not sincere to their in-laws. They're not. And I was interested in the money angle. Because they are out like vultures, I'll tell you.
You know, I always wonder, because I've seen a lot of elderly people get on in years who have a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
Are people there helping them for sincerity, or are they there because at the end they think there's going to be some dough at the end of the...
I think they think there's going to be some dough.
Yeah, and I...
And I never went upstairs unless my father asked me in his latter days to go up and get his purse. Or billfold or whatever he had. It was a billfold, I guess. And, you know, get I never opened it to get the money out. I couldn't tell you what he had. But I think that this is something that I don't like. They have no business coming into my home, going in and getting somebody that is really not a family member to go in and turn my computer on, and then they go through and look all my money up and tell me about it. I don't have a lot of money, folks. I have enough to live on and enjoy, and I've worked very hard for it. Very, very hard. I love working. I've always loved working. And I don't mind working, and I don't mind helping people. But I don't like people going through my things. Now, am I old-fashioned or what?
Well, no, I don't think anybody should be going through somebody's things, because I wonder what their motive is for going through those things.
Right. I know what it is.
Yeah.
To find out what they're going to get.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's I have always thought, and the pastor was talking about this during the break there.
I wish I could have gotten here earlier.
Yeah, but that leaving money to a charity or leaving money to a cause that maybe is special to you. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of big groups, and thank goodness they're there because they help out people. But there are also a lot of little groups that could use a helping hand, and when you give somebody who needs a helping hand, one who maybe isn't, you know, a family member, they really appreciate it.
Right,
appreciate it a lot more than the family member does.
Oh, yes. To me, I couldn't tell you what my parents had. I never asked. I never looked. I never touched my father's billfold. I never asked him, how much money do you have, old man? No. Now, I've heard people say that. Hey, old man, how much money you got? That is no one's business but mine.
People are a little money hungry.
Oh, money hungry. More so than I've ever seen in my life. I cannot believe. I never even thought about money from my dad and mother. They gave me an education. They gave me a warm home. They gave me love. What more could I ask for?
You know, it's also interesting. People who don't have a lot of money, they seem to remember their parents a little more fondly because the relationship was never based in money.
No.
You know, but I also have this thing. Sometimes your parents are the only people, if you're going through financial trouble, and heavens knows everybody goes through financial trouble at one time or another, your parent is the person you probably feel most comfortable with going with to ask for money. Now, I have seen kids ask parents for money, and the parent be kind of, why do you come to me, blah. I couldn't even imagine that, because that must be a pretty poor parent to not understand why they're coming to you. You're their parent. You're not their friend. You're their mother. You're their father. That's why they're coming to you. I mean, if they're coming to you to be consoled because they're having financial trouble, and financial trouble can be very scary for people. They're not coming to you for you to add more stress on to them by saying, oh, I don't have the money. I can't help you. Why are you coming to me? That's nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we were taught to take care of our money. And I know that most generally, they wouldn't have turned us away.
That's right.
But they taught us to spend our money wisely. And I still will think to myself, I don't really need that, do I, Margaret? You don't need a new car, do you? Nope. I had secondhand cars when I started out. I had a car that my brother-in-law took from a junkyard and made it into a nice little car.
Well, you know, that's the thing. There are kids who do. If your kid has a gigantic car payment that they can let go back, if they have big insurance payments, if they are doing things, a lot of people, I mean, it's a terrible thing to say, but a lot of people are addicted to drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Or things. Now, that what is a situation where I think you say, let's take a look at what you're doing here. But if the person is doing the best that they can or doing something constructive, I would think you'd want to say to them, you know, I've got a pretty good kid here. And if they are coming to me for something, I shouldn't add to their anxiety in life, because it probably was dire straits for them to come to me in the first place.
Right. Well, I know that if I went to my parents for money, it would have been very slim pickings, because I never would have done it. I would have gone without. And when my parents found out that I was working many, many different shifts, which I did, not because I really needed the money, but I wanted to help myself get straightened around so I wouldn't have to lean on my parents. And I think that, to me, was a turning point in my life, because I wanted all the stuff that kids had in school. I didn't have it because my parents didn't feel it was necessary for me to go out and buy a new car. I finally did buy a new car when I was driving a lot for the hospital and going, you know, up north and down south and all around, because I needed a car to get me there and back. I didn't need the best car they had in the lot, but I needed a new car. I wanted something that was going to make sure I got where I was going. And I my parents were wonderful. My dad said, "Now, Margaret, if you really need a car, I'll help you buy a car. You can borrow it like you're going to the bank." I never wanted to do that. I just went without.
But what's interesting to me is, money is the only thing that causes that weird stigma. Now, if you have kids, you'll ask your parents to babysit, and there's no problem there.
No.
And most people do not pay their parents, and most parents wouldn't take money for watching the grandkids anyway. So there's that, and they'll go eat. Well, it costs money to put that food on the table. They'll go eat at their parents' house, or they'll live with their parents, and there'll be no rent or such and such paid. Now, people don't have problem with that. But if you ask for outright money, then there's an issue. I think we're way too stigmatized on money in this culture.
I think so, too.
I mean, we'll take everything else.
I know. I don't know. I guess I was so proud of myself because I did put myself through college. My sister thinks, though, that everybody gave me everything. She does not know the truth. And I'm not even going to bother trying to tell her. She's fixed in her head that Margaret got everything handed to her. I have news for her. Try 3 and 4 shifts extra every week. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't date anyone. I didn't have money even to buy a decent dress. I had a good, you couldn't wear your high school stuff. You know, look kind of crazy on you. But, you know, I made it.
Well, you know, that's a funny thing. My parents didn't pay for my college. Not a penny.
Mm-mm.
Not a penny. So, you know, some people's parents do.
Well, my parents helped, but they didn't say, "Here, Margaret, here's a couple $1,000, take it." I would have loved that. I'd been great. I could have gone to bed at night and slept, but I didn't get sleep very much because I had to get back up and make sure I'm back over there. But I don't have any problem with it. It taught me a lot. I enjoyed doing it. I love working. I still do. I wish I could work even today, but I can't. Right. I just can't do it.
You know, though, I think there is parents. I believe in respecting your elders. I believe in all those sort of things. But I do believe there are some parents who believe just because they're the parents, we can do no wrong.
Right.
Well, parents are human beings. You know, they can do wrong. Mm-hmm. And if you slight a child, like your story about when you were a child and you wanted this doll.
Oh, yeah.
Now, so I mean, you had that feeling about your mother for a long time.
Yeah. So, I bet she really didn't want me to have it, so therefore she made up a story. That wasn't true at all. But it's amazing how we make up things in our mind.
But I've never understood, you know, I guess here's what I want to say. I have known people who would never say a bad thing in front of their parents, who would never say anything cross to their parents, and they called that respect. But those people also didn't visit their parents a whole lot, and they didn't call their parents a whole lot, and their parents didn't come to visit them a whole lot, because they did, in a way, have to put on this show when they were around them.
Mm-hmm.
But people who have a relationship with their parents that's open feelings, where you can tell them, and you might get in an argument sometime, those people were a little closer. Right. I always thought.
I thought so, too.
But I think people, and being a psychologist, Marge, why add, when somebody comes to me with a problem, whether it's financial or emotional or whatever, the first thing I say in my head is, they're coming to me because they are on edge. I should not add to their problem.
No.
You know, I shouldn't say, oh, my God, what are you going to do if you can't pay that bill? Oh, my God, what are you going to do if you can't, that person's never coming back. They don't want to hear that.
No.
You should be consoling.
Mm-hmm.
Some people aren't good at that.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was a kid in high school, I worked all the time downtown at the shoe store. And I love shoes. I had a shoe store later on in life with my husband, and we had a lot of fun. He loved the women, and they loved him, and they had their coffee, and back then everybody smoked, I guess. I don't know. I never did. But anyway, they enjoyed each other. I never was jealous. I didn't care. I mean, I knew he was coming home that night, so I never doubted him one minute. And I think you have to trust. And I always trusted my husband. I figured if he found anybody any better than me, go to it. That was my attitude. I would have never cheated on him, and he never cheated on me that I know of, and I'm sure he didn't.
By the way, I do want to let people know this is a live program here. If you want to call in, have an opinion on any of this, feel free. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Would love to hear your opinions on this, because I think these are topics that everybody can relate to, because we've all been down this as a parent or as a child. But I just know, now, I don't have kids of my own, but I was in a relationship with a girl who had kids, who I knew from the time they were, before they went to school.
Right.
And if those kids came to me and asked for anything, I would go without before I would turn them down.
Right.
So that's just how I feel. And these parents who go around I would always put the child first.
Right. And I think that's the way my parents did. You know, I realized we had more probably in nicer homes, a nicer home than most kids, but we didn't flaunt it. My dad said, you're lucky to have a nice home and a nice roof over your head, and be thankful for that. But we always worked, every one of us, my kid sister, my older sister, and then me, the middle one. And I didn't go around and complain. I mean, I wore hand-me-downs, hand-me-ups, because I was tiny all my life. You know, when people say, oh, you're so thin, I've been thin all my life. As I told the doctor one day, I get so tired of hearing it, I heard it from the day I made my first cry, that I had to work if I wanted what I wanted out of life. And I just did it because I enjoy work. I love to work. I would love to have a job right now, a big job, where I could put my feet and my teeth into it and say, I still can work, and I know I can.
You know what I think the problem is, though, and I feel so bad about this. So many people don't like their jobs.
I know, but I never had a job I didn't like.
And that's lucky. But I know so many people who do, and they just can't wait for vacations. They can't wait for days off. And, you know, that... I do feel bad about that, because I think you only get one life, and whatever your belief is, I don't think people should be, I don't want people to be unhappy.
No.
I guess that's my bottom line. And when I see somebody who dislikes their job and maybe is only doing it for money, I don't know that that's a good idea.
I can remember many, many, many times when they would say, can you stay over? Can you stay over? I said, you don't have to ask me. You know I will do it, because I love what I do. I love the patients. I used to take them by fingernail polish because they love to have their nails done. And so I did that a lot. I don't know. I had fun. I loved my job. I didn't care what I did. I have one person say, well, I'm not going to clean a bedpan. Well, how is that bedpan going to get cleaned if you don't clean it?
Well, there were a lot of things in my life I could have done that would have paid more money.
Me too.
And I think in my life, you know, sometimes I think, oh, I turned them down. But, you know, I don't regret any of it because I'm happy now. So maybe I would have went a different direction and
wouldn't have been so happy. Oh, I think you're doing just exactly what you should be doing.
Well, I think at times, you know, there have been some lucrative offers from people, and I always said no because in the bottom line, I thought the first time I go there, because if I went there for money, if that was my reason, the first time I'm unhappy, I'm going to regret that I took that job.
Right.
You know, so that's, I never wanted to get there. And sometimes I had to think long and hard. You know, when I first started in radio in Marion, you know, certainly the money was not big.
No, it wasn't.
And not big at all. And I got a call one day from the station over in Bucyrus. And had a meeting with them, and they asked me, they offered more money, and they offered a lot of things. And in the end, I turned it down because I thought, do I want to drive to Bucyrus? Do I want to move to Bucyrus? Mm-hmm. Winters are rough. And the first time I'm over there and don't like it, I'm going to regret that I left that job. And I said no, and I think it was the right decision.
I
don't have any regret about it.
We would have been sick without you.
Well, and I know, you know, when this station first started,
we didn't have much, did we?
Well, we had, when this station first started, I had an offer, because my degree college is education, and I had an offer from a place in Delaware to be a supervisory position, have a supervisory position in education. Mm-hmm. And the money was good and the hours were good and the holiday was good, and I thought, if I leave, what will happen?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't.
Well, that's the way I was too. I had opportunity in nursing to be the director of nursing in Marion when I came. I was offered that job, but I didn't want to do that because that wasn't what I was on my calling. I really love to work with the patients. I love teaching the students and helping them help the patient. And I've never been sorry, never in a minute in my life. I love everything I've done. I really have. And people think that is just sick. Well, it isn't. That's the way I am. I'd give my shirt off my back, you know, if I really knew the person needed it worse than I.
Well, and that's the thing. I think we've got to be very hospitable in life. Because there are people who are in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who else I feel sorry for? And I don't even like using that term, but I feel bad for, is people who are negative.
Yes.
I feel bad for them because I don't know what causes it. I feel so bad because that must be a terrible burden to have.
Right.
That you're always angry. And they'll say, well, I'm not always angry. Well, you know, a grudge is a grudge.
Right.
And the grudge doesn't hurt the other person.
No.
The grudge only hurts you.
Right.
Because you're the one carrying it around.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't like people, so to speak, snoop into my financials. It's none of their business. If you want to know something, ask me. But don't go in and touch my stuff. I'm funny that way, I know. But that's the way I believe. I don't think that anybody has a right to invade my what I have or don't have. I don't have a lot. I work hard for what I have, and I'm enjoying every minute of it. And I would give my car away even, you know. I don't drive a big car. I drove a Cadillac for years, and I never drove it because of showing off. My husband wanted me to drive a heavy car because I drove lots and lots of miles. And I'm always pleased that I was able to do that. And I'm glad I had that opportunity. And I don't know. I just love working. I truly do. I know it sounds sick. There's something wrong with me. But I love it. I like to work.
Well, you know, Charlie and I were having this conversation yesterday that no matter how old somebody gets, I think the best thing they can have is a place still to go.
Right.
Now, they don't have to work 40 hours anymore.
No.
But something to look forward to,
mm-hmm.
something to keep the mind moving, something to be around people other than your family. Not that being around your family is not great,
right?
But, you know, there is something about being around people who you work with.
Right.
That's different, you know. And a lot of times, if you're around your family constantly, that really can
be a problem.
Yeah, because a lot of times it'll cause friction because you don't ever leave and people are never alone. And if you do have a problem, you don't have anybody to vent to.
Right. Well, I talk to my cats. They're my best friends, and I love them to death. I'm pleased that I have them. They were very well trained by the gal that gave them to me, and they are just absolutely the light of my life. I love them to death. And sometimes they get on my nerves because they want to be hugging me and on my lap and kissing my face, and I don't like that particularly. I don't like a cat kissing me, but that's all right. They need love too. And but I think that one has to live their life the way they feel content. And I don't know, if somebody needed something when I was a kid, you know, some little thing around my house, like people come in and say, gee, I really like that such and such. And I go, oh, I don't need that anyway. I can give that to them. It doesn't make any difference to me.
That's it.
And I think that that makes my life a lot more richer.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that we all need a purpose in life. And my purpose, I think, is like the minister was saying today. You know, I love to give service to people. I love to help people. And I'll never probably ever get over that.
And it's a great thing to have.
Right.
Great thing to have. Now, since you've been here last March, you saw it there today, we got a couch.
I noticed that couch.
Was it comfortable?
Yes, good. Very nice. I liked it.
So we have a nice waiting area now. If you come into the studio and you have to wait on one of us, you can sit down and it'd be a nice, comfortable seat.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Yeah.
I think that we're going in the right direction.
Well, I seem to notice that. Charlie and I spoke at the Y Men's Club the other night, and we had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the calls and so on and so forth, and people who pick up prizes, mm-hmm. you know, it's a nice atmosphere.
Right.
It's always fun to come here. You know, it sounds really silly, but I don't really remember ever having any arguments with anybody.
No, I don't think we ever have.
There's just no blow-ups. There's mm-hmm. nothing. It's a really calm, low-pressure place.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I really do. I couldn't wait to get back. I watched that thermometer, and I said, come on, move, move, move. I don't want to be home all the time, you know. But I wasn't going to go out and get in the car with that degree of temperature and slide into somebody and hurt somebody.
Oh, it was cold.
Oh, it was awful. It was awful.
Now, when you're inside on days like that, how do you keep busy?
Oh, my gosh. I could dust. I could clean. I could... Oh, I'm busy all the time. Play with the kitties for a while. I find stuff to do. I was thinking, I could dust every day because unbelievably, the cats do cause a lot of dust.
They do.
They do. They run through the house, jump up on something, and stand there and look at me like, come on, let's play tag a little while, you know? And, I don't know. I wouldn't give those babies away for nothing. I just love them that much. And they can do no wrong.
You know, it's nice to have a clean house, but I think sometimes dust and things like that, you know, there are other things to do.
Right.
Much more rewarding things
right.
than dusting and worrying about this and worrying about that. I sometimes wonder about those people. That seems a little compulsive.
I used to be a neat freak. I had to have everything in its place. I had to have it cleaned all the time. I don't even care. You know, I'm going to enjoy my animals. I'm going to enjoy coming here. I'm just going to enjoy life.
And that's the best way.
That's the way I look at it. So if it doesn't work out for other people, don't come to my house.
Right. I mean, first of all, if somebody invites you into their house, I think the last thing that the guest should be doing is complaining about dust.
Right.
You know, I think there are far more important things in the world.
I think so, too. Although I never have anybody say anything to me about the dust, I'm sure they look at it and think, oh, you know, dust.
So this winter has been, you know, I was reading a story today about the flu, that it, the flu has not been as bad this year.
No.
But that it, I guess last year being such a bad year with the flu made this year a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope we are. I didn't have the flu last year. In fact, I haven't had the flu since I quit teaching.
It's easy to get it when you're with those students.
Yeah, because I was, I always had the flu, but I don't get it anymore. I knock on wood.
Well, that's the awful thing, you know. It's great to go in and teach. It's great to be around the kids, but they do carry a lot of germs.
Oh, my.
You know, and this is another thing that I really, people who work and people who go to school, if you're sick, don't go.
No.
Not just for yourself, but you're going to make other people sick.
Correct.
You know, I don't, and I'm talking about big places, like something here, that's no big deal. Mm. But when you're working in a big place and you're handling things, or you've got a whole classroom of 30 people and you're, I don't know that that's necessarily...
48 people,
yeah.
That's what I had.
I mean, a small group like this, I mean, we can stay sanitized if somebody's got a cold. But boy, oh boy, when it comes to these big groups, especially if you're working in food service, you can make the people sick who are eating out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that always helped. I carried my lunch. Couldn't afford to, you know, buy the lunch at school. And that sounds kind of funny when you say... Well, Mrs. Hazel, certainly you live in a big house, and why didn't you take some of that money and enjoy it? I enjoy my house. I enjoy every moment of it. I enjoy my kitties. I enjoy life. And so if people don't like the way I live, well, don't come.
Well, I think we also get into habits, too. I mean, a lot of people, I notice, pack their lunches now because it's a healthy alternative.
Right.
And they know it's something they like.
Right. I like everything I make.
Yeah. And I think sometimes food can get expensive when you're ordering all the time.
Right. I don't know. We never bought our lunches at school. Well, we didn't have a cafeteria. We didn't have that stuff when I went to school. We didn't have a cafeteria. We didn't have the means by which to keep them refrigerated or any of that kind of stuff. We had... Whatever it was that we had around the house is what we ate. And my mother always canned and preserved things, and we always had fruit and vegetables. And my father buried cabbage.
Oh.
In the fall, he buried cabbage. And in about another month, the cabbage will come out as beautiful as the day we put it down.
People love cabbage, mm-hmm. but boy, is it a smell.
Yeah.
Oh. I never was a fan of cabbage.
I never have been either.
Cabbage and soup beans, I don't like.
No, I don't care for soup beans either.
A lot of people love that.
Yeah.
Boy, they love nothing better than to get a big pot and that big glass jar of soup beans and eat it. I could never.
I don't care for them.
Ugh. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Probably I'm spoilt. But my mother canned, and we didn't freeze things because we didn't have that means to do that. But we canned everything. We canned everything.
You know what I've heard a lot lately is people going on fasts where they don't eat for period, like eat one meal a day or something like that.
Not me.
I don't know medically what that does to you. I'm sure it's not horrible, but...
No, but I don't think it's good for you. I don't know. I believe in consistency, you know, to be consistent with my life.
Yeah.
And food is one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I, you know, food is an important thing to a lot of people, and food can also become an addiction for a lot of people.
Well, I told my neighbor, I said, I'm going to be over here for 2 hours, and when I'm done, I'll come over, you know, I'll call you and pick you up, and we'll go out for lunch. And so, and I don't know, by the time I get there, she may have changed her mind, but that's not going to change mine, because I'm going to go to Carlisle's no matter what. And I'm not advertising for them. I just happen to like them. And the man works hard. The food's excellent. And I really enjoy going there.
You know, I've not been in there yet.
Oh, you need to go there. The food is outstanding.
That's good.
And they're very nice to you. And they're just very, very accommodating. I like it.
You know, Denny's recently went through a remodel.
Right.
And I went there after the remodel. And boy, I'll tell you, it was a really nice place, really good food. And there's a picture on the wall in there now that they've put up, and I think it's the old Marion train depot.
Okay.
And it's you know, that's kind of neat that they take something local.
Right.
Because Denny's, of course, is a national chain. Mm-hmm. It's neat that they take something local, historic, and right. put it up on the wall like that.
Yes, I think it's very, very nice. I think Marion has this right direction now. I think they're going more, realizing they need to be more homebound and not be running around and picking up stuff that isn't necessary.
You know, there was this move that people were driving to Columbus for everything, but I think internet's changed that.
I think so.
You know, people would drive to Columbus for movies or for shopping, but you know, now everybody does it on the internet,
right?
So now and Netflix, people have their little Netflix set up. So I don't know that people are leaving town as much anymore, but
I don't know. I don't go out of town too much, never did. I was in Columbus as much as I was in Marion, but I don't know. I like Marion.
Yeah,
I liked it when I was a kid and came over here with the Huber. And I am on the board of with the Huber, and I love every minute of it. I love the people, and I just love, I don't know, I like things, and I like to give things away to people, and so I don't know.
Now, the tractor that's in the Huber Museum that you put in there, now whose was that?
Oh, well, it was my grandfather's, and they bought it in 1934. I was born in 1934. So they always kind of said Margaret's tractor because I drove it a lot. I worked it a lot. And my kid sister thinks she worked it a lot. Well, I worked it a long time before she ever grew up to do it. And Loretta liked to swim. I think she was related to the dolphin family because she swam all the time. And we never said a word. I mean, my mother had to cook a different, you know, a meal for her every night because she came home late. But my mother never complained about that. If you had to work, she made an extra meal, put it in the oven, and we had it for her. I didn't know I had a wonderful parents, and I don't think I appreciated them as much as I should have, but I really enjoyed them.
Now, at the end of their life, did they ever live with you?
Well, my mother came over to Marion to live, and my dad came with her. When they came over here, I owned apartments here in Marion. And so they came over. And we had a lot of fun. And Mom went to football games, Loretta and her, because the kids played football. And so they went a lot to things like that. We were very blessed. We had the means to do a lot of things that a lot of other people didn't have. And so I've been real happy that way. I mean, I've worked hard, but I never complained about it. Didn't bother me. As long as I had something in my tummy, that's okay. I was happy.
So as your mother got older, was she...
No, my mother stayed very springy and
good.
Chipper and whatever. Yep.
Good.
I'm just trying to think how she died. My dad died of really basically old age illness. My mother, well, she did too. I mean, they never complained. They never complained.
So active right up till the end.
Yes, yes.
You know, and this is a thing, too, now. When parents or grandparents get older, people are working. What do you do if they need help? Tough.
Hopefully you have some friends that will help you.
Yeah.
I've been very lucky. I have a lot of friends that really come in and help. And I appreciate every last one of them, especially Janine. Janine has just been so wonderful to me and a wonderful person, a wonderful friend. So I've been lucky.
You know, it's a very scary thing. I think, I don't know what's causing it, but a lot of people are starting to have memory lapses.
Well, if I don't quit bumping my head, I'm going to have more than memory lapses. You know how you have an overhang on something and I know it's there. Boom.
Boom.
My poor old head is just getting knots all over it, but I'll make it. But I think that what we have to do is we have to believe in others and help others while we can still help them. And if I can help them, I'll help them. Just like with Mary. I don't mind turning around, going back home and picking her up. That isn't a problem for me at all. And I do it all the time.
Yeah, and it's a nice thing. I wish more people went out and ate. Because I think we are losing social skills to a big extent.
I think so. I really enjoy taking my neighbors out. I enjoy doing things for them.
Well, the conversations you can have over dinner are different than the conversations that people are having in text messages and over the internet.
I really love talking face-to-face.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. I can't wait to meet her for lunch. I hope she goes. It disappoints me when she doesn't, but I don't let her know that it does. She's just too wonderful of a person. And they were so cute when they brought their car over, because it is a gorgeous car. And I was just real pleased that they thought enough of me to come get me and take me with them to Upper Sandusky to the Village. If you haven't been there to that restaurant, it's a wonderful restaurant. They have really good food, and that place is neat and clean, and it's a nice place.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Within 20 or 30 miles of here, you have the Village in Upper.
Right.
You have Cooney's in LaRue.
Right.
You have the Berwick in Green Camp. And I don't know what's in Richwood now. Used to be the Carlisle.
I don't know what they got over there.
There used to be a place over there called Bert and Ernie's. Did they still have a Carlisle in Richwood?
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
I remember when I got out of high school, I worked at a bank in Richwood. And the Carlisle had just opened up over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the corner of where the bank was.
Uh-huh.
And but I never ate there. I don't know why I never ate there. They had two other places over there. Somebody who knows Richwood, fill me in. 740-383-9944. But there was a restaurant which was kind of like a bar restaurant.
I remember that.
Now, they had good steaks.
Yes.
If you wanted a steak, I would go over there. Now, but I used to like the taco salads at a place called Bert and Ernie's. Now, I don't know if Bert and Ernie's is still there or not.
I don't know either.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, it's Pastor Steve. I just wanted to answer your question about Richwood. Hey, Kelly's Diner is in Richwood. Kelly Primavera owns it and runs it. And I'll tell you what, it is a great place to eat. She's very personable, likes to get to know her customers. And the food's just fantastic. And that is where Carlisle's was, the same place.
Ah, great. I'm glad to see there's another place to go.
Oh, I didn't know you were over there.
Hey, thank you, Pastor.
Glad I can help. We'll see you.
Bye-bye. You know, I love these out-of-the-way places. And I've got to go to the Berwick over in Green Camp. Because when I was in the banking business, the branch of the bank that I worked at was the bank that's next door to the Berwick. And apparently now, when that bank went out of business, the Berwick bought it.
Oh.
And I guess now you can eat in the vault of a bank that I used to work in. So I need to get over there. And has anybody ate at the Berwick since they added that bank part into it?
I didn't know it.
It was an old-fashioned bank when I worked there, but I loved that little bank. And I'm sad that it's not there because I don't think there are any other banks. There weren't any other banks in Green Camp when I was there.
I don't think so.
And in Green Camp, when I worked there, you had two choices. You could eat at the Berwick, or you could go down to the Dairy Queen.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
In the wintertime, they closed up the
Right, so you were at Berwick was it. You had to go to the Berwick. But it was right next door to the bank, so that made it very convenient. But it was good food.
That was why I was so blessed when I got to go around to all the different places, to schools. I got to know the teachers. I got to know the children. I got to know the principals. I got to know a lot of people and the families. And I really loved every minute of that. I never felt like it was a put upon. I really liked going to the homes and meeting with them and talking with them.
Well, I think sometimes we got to get out of the bubbles that we live in and go to these places. When we did the remote last year, it's almost been a year now, from Cooney's in LaRue, I love that. I thought that was one of the best times.
Oh, I thought that was fun.
Yeah. So, you know, to go into these places and try the food, they still cook in a very unique fashion.
Yes, they do.
Which
Hello,
is great.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
You can come up here and sit with us.
Now, what do you have when you go to the Carlisle, Marge?
Pardon?
What do you eat when you go there to the Carlisle?
Oh, my goodness. We're talking about Carlisle's over here on Mount Vernon Avenue. Oh, they have just everything. They have a huge menu. Anywhere from steak right on down.
Now, do you have anything you particularly like?
Oh, yeah, I love their Swiss steak.
Now, Marge, tell Brandy what you feel about asking the father's permission to get married.
Oh, what do you think about asking the father?
Oh, I don't think it should be done. I don't think you should ask a father's permission.
I told her she was nuts, Marge. I told her last week. It's a nice thing to do, isn't it?
I think it's a nice gesture.
It's a nice gesture.
I think we've thrown away, so to speak, the bathwater with the baby.
Yes.
I really do. I think we've gone too far away from everything that we used to think was so good. I don't know if my husband asked my dad, or not. I think he did, probably just out of courtesy.
Courtesy.
I think that was it.
It's not a militant thing. I was listening to the program the other day when it replayed, where you and I had this conversation last week, and you made it sound like a militant thing. I don't think it is militant. I really think it's
I'm just saying
courteous.
Some of these traditions come from icky places, and we don't have to continue them if
really?
They come from icky
I don't,
places.
But does that one? I don't know
yes.
if that one does or not.
It comes from the idea that a daughter was the father's property until such point as she was transferred to the husband. That's where it comes from, and I think we need to do away with that.
Well, I don't think I felt that way.
No, yeah.
I'm glad you didn't feel that way. But.
No, I never did, but you know, I know where you're coming from. I think we've gone too far to the left.
Right, but I mean, I'm just saying it's a conciliatory gesture now in today's society. I don't know why. I mean, it's not about possession. God knows nobody runs anybody now, and that's a good thing. So why is that a bad thing? It hasn't meant that for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's, to me, it's just another sort of carryover of these times when women weren't really recognized as individual people. And I think we should do away with as much of that as possible.
We're going to be back in about 10 minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For people like legendary comedian